Please be seated. Number one. It is great to be able to be here with you today. We're going to talk from the Word of God, and I have no doubt it'll be beneficial because we're studying God's Word and we're learning what it means to be a child of God and sharing His Word with other people. It is a great thing to be able to come together and study God's Word. We have guests from the area here. We appreciate those who are friends and those who are family that have gathered together with us tonight. We've been kind of playing with this thing every night, trying to get it to where it's working right, and I thought for sure I had it a great time. Maybe I just have not hit this AV button. And hitting this AV button probably is going to turn this thing on. If not, I'm going to turn it over to my good brother, and I'm going to keep right on preaching. I think it just hit on. So as we look at it, what we're going to be talking about tonight is stirring one another to teach the lost. We started this week seeing that Jesus wants us to be involved in saving souls. We see that Jesus says the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And what we've been striving to do this week is get a few more people active in the kingdom of God and sharing the good news with others. We've shown the harvest is fresh. There are people all over that are hurting, that are addicted, that have issues in their life, and they need the Lord Jesus. Someone says, I know everybody needs Jesus, and they do. But Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost, and those who know they're lost, who know what they're doing isn't working, are prime candidates for us to share the good news of the gospel with. We also talked about making a list and having a card and putting five names on it and five people you're going to pray for daily. And don't mind embarrassing people, as you've already noticed this week. Those of you that are members of it, just give me a quick list if you've got your list together. Those that, okay, we've got a bunch of folks. Now the key is don't forget about this when I go home. And as I mentioned, one of the great things of having a list of people that you're praying for specifically and that you're looking for the Lord to motivate you to do something to lead that soul to Jesus Christ. It may be simply making a phone call. It may be setting up a Bible study. It might be getting together with someone and going out and just talking about the Lord over breakfast or over lunch or in your home. But we want to share the good news, and we want to stir one another. And that's the theme of the lesson tonight. We'll find something that you'll find, I've always known that when you look at it, but it's important to look at. Hebrews 10:24 and 25, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Hold on to what we have. Before we can share anything, we have to hold on to what we have. And hold on without wavering. Don't be here today and there tomorrow. Be faithful to God. For he who promised is faithful. Our God never tells a lie. Our God does what he says he will do, and that's the basis of our hope. And let us consider one another to stir to love and good works. The word consider there is metanoio in the Greek, and that's the first Greek word I've used all week, so you can't complain about it. But the idea is you're looking to help. You're not looking to criticize. You're trying to get right there where you can see what's going. Let us consider one another to stir to love and good works. And then it goes on and talks about the assembling, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as some folks did back then and some folks do today. You know, one of the first things I've learned is that you just can't win if you don't show up. If you don't show up for the race, you can't. Number of years ago, when my son was the age of Miles right now, there was a drawing in Louisville, Kentucky, and it was a drawing involved with a company called New Image at that time. There was a $10,000 drawing, and my son had no interest in New Image, hadn't done one thing, but we had him in the drawing. He showed up, and he won $10,000. But if he wouldn't have been there, it automatically, you don't get it. Now, we're here with something much more valuable than $10,000. $10,000, he's done pretty well with that $10,000. He invested and did real well with that. But point is, there's a lot more important things than money. And what we need to do is we have to show up, and when we show up, with the idea in mind of what can I do to help. Brother on the back row, what's your first name? Andy. Been talking with Andy all week and his wife, and they had awesome news today. Her brother, who'd been praying for and concerned with, afraid he had lung cancer, turned out he didn't. And they came in tonight, and we've been talking about it, and asked me to pray about it. We've been praying about it, and we just thank God. We need to get to know each other. We need to get to understand each other, know some of the struggles we're with. And so we come together, and we have the ability to pick people up. We've been playing with Chris all week with his son, who has so many health issues. We've been praying for other people, and we're working together. The same with souls. Somebody comes in and says, you know, my son, my daughter, my husband, my wife is struggling. The very fact that they acknowledge that they're struggling starts toward a solution. Because once you acknowledge there's a problem, there's a lot of times people that can help when it comes to the saving of souls, to helping brothers and sisters in Christ. As I told you before, we've been mentioning people all week long, mentioning people by name. The 85-year-old preacher I talked about last night, J.F. Dancer, called me this afternoon. And we went down and encouraged him. He and his wife are coming up to encourage us in a gospel meeting / revival, whatever you call it, that starts Sunday where I am. There are opportunities to encourage, to edify, and you get to know brethren, and you love brethren, and it comes back. I was talking to my sister today, and you know how they ended up at West Carrollton, Ohio, in this congregation? Probably not two people here know. I'm going to just lay it on you. It was things that were done that opened the door some 20 or more years ago by Debbie and Mike Grushon. At a period of time when she needed somebody to listen to and talk to her, they were there for her in her life. And she worked with them, babysat children, was in camps with them. But the relationship developed then is developed at this point in time in life. See, the seed you sow today doesn't always produce today. It doesn't always produce in the way that you think it ought to. But it's on God's time, not on your time. And that'll keep us from getting discouraged. Somebody says, how much good did you do in the meeting? I have no idea. God knows. But I don't know. When we're planting seed, sometimes that seed germinates and it just explodes. And sometimes you might go someplace and when you might as well stay at home. Might as well stay at home and plowed or whatever you do. So it depends on the hearts. It did even in the time of Jesus. And they were looking for possibly the destruction of Jerusalem. Possibly they were looking for the Lord coming in judgment. Whatever they were looking for, whatever day they had approaching, they were trying to encourage each other. We don't know how long we'll be on this earth. We don't know how long or when the Lord will return to claim His own. But whatever day, we can encourage one another today. That's part of God's purpose and God's plan, and we need to take advantage of it. So we consider one another. There's no greater work than worshiping God and sharing the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. Jesus sent out His disciples two by two. Did you notice that? And after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them out two by two before His face into every city and place where He Himself was about to go. And He said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Now, our Lord understood what it took for people to be strong enough to save souls. And so He sent them out two by two. And sometimes there's going to be more than two, but on this occasion, He sent them out two by two. What's the benefit? What's the purpose of having someone with you and trying to save souls? Well, just look at it. There's protection. You know, there was difficulty, challenge, and there were robbers, there were thieves, and they went all over the world. And there's a certain amount of protection that you have going with someone. There's sometimes that you'll go into circumstances that are challenging. You might have someone threatening. Just having another person there can be a great benefit. Secondly, there's encouragement. When you get down, if you have someone to pick you back up, then you can accomplish nearly anything. You know, a lot of people get personal trainers. What's a personal trainer? It's somebody to encourage you to do what you want to do already. And somebody says, I just would not be comfortable telling somebody about Jesus that I don't know. Well, could you encourage somebody else to do it? Could you say, here, I'll go with you. Let's go get them. And a lot of people are good at encouraging someone else to do what they're not capable or what they don't feel comfortable doing at a moment in time. Also, there's moral purity is easily maintained. All around us today, there are problems. People get involved in circumstances and situations, and the next thing you know, you've got issues involved. Moral purity is very easily maintained. Martin Adams, some of you know, some of you don't. But Martin Adams, a good friend of mine, air traffic controller, retired now. I think he's down in Florida doing something for Florida College. And Martin, through the years, has been my Barnabas. We've been all over the country, a few different places in the world. And he was right there. And he said, if I can't do anything else, I'll carry your suitcase. Well, I said, I'll be glad if you'd do that. You know, he's gotten old now, so he don't want to carry anybody's suitcase. But we get young guys to go with us to do that when we go overseas. You know, find somebody young and strong. And you come with me, sure. Miles, when you go to Romania. In Romania, young people defer to the older people. So you might as well get used to it now. And you know, it's kind of funny. I took my father-in-law over there. He's deceased now, and he just absolutely loved it. But he had a captain formerly in the secret police in Romania down washing his feet. And he was just so, and you know, you take your shoes off and you go in a house there, and here he is helping him take his shoes off. And he said, whoa, you know, what is this? That's hospitality. But they defer. They show respect to people of maturity in that culture. That's pretty well universally seen. And so we have moral purity easily maintained if we do that. Martin Adams, what I was going to tell you about then. Martin Adams taught a class about hedges. And I still remember the class, remember the classroom, good size, large church. There were a lot of people that really needed that in that class. And I remember a young guy and a young girl were just kind of laughing. You know, he's so out of fashion. You know, you actually take someone with you when you go to a hotel, you call your wife first thing. There are a whole number of things you do that really sound corny. Well, we had a problem in that church. We ended up, before it was all over with, you had one of those people laughing, involved with someone else who was laughing, who got involved in an affair, tore two families apart, and did a lot of damage. And these were people that heard the truth, they heard what they needed to hear, they just didn't practice it. And fortunately, one of the marriages eventually was saved with a lot of work and prayer and forgiveness. The others did not. And as you look and see, we need to be aware. There's not any of us that in the wrong circumstances are not subject to a moral failure. So the key is you just don't put yourself in the circumstance and where you're going to have that moral failure. We also have and realize with help, there are different personalities and may help with different people. My mom and dad were very good at teaching people about the Lord. And sometimes mom might be involved in taking care of their kids so they could listen. Another time she might be involved in taking the woman aside or just talking to them. She had very good Bible knowledge. Still has very good Bible knowledge. But Aquila and Priscilla in the New Testament did that. You'll have two women, you have two men. You might have more than that, but there's benefits in someone going with you and realizing that none of us know it all. And it's really good that we have someone with us that can give us a little bit of encouragement. You're kind of wandering over here. Stay focused on the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Also, there's knowledge. Two heads are better than one. I mentioned before with Tom Moody, I was on live call-in radio in Louisville, and it's amazing. You get someone else there with you that knows the Word of God. Pretty much any question can be answered. And there's nothing wrong with saying, I don't know the answer to that. We'll look it up. We'll study God's Word and find the answer. But when you have someone else who loves the Lord and who's involved, it's going to encourage you as well. There are some famous soul-winning teams in the Bible. You have Aquila and Priscilla in Acts 18. We made a brief mention of them earlier in the week. But in Acts 18, you find them with Paul. They're making tents. They're staying together. So mention, I don't know if they were Christians before they met Paul or they became Christians after being with him. But they're Christians very soon after this if they weren't before. And in verses 25 through 28, they take Apollos. And he'd been instructed in the way of Lord. He was fervent in spirit. He spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. And here he's speaking boldly. They take him aside privately, and to explain to him the Word of God more accurately. And you have someone who's capable and faithful who's going to be sharing God's Word in many places. They were very effective in the things they did for the cause of the Lord. But not only Aquila and Priscilla, you have Paul and Barnabas. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 4, you have one of the most famous soul-winning teams in the Scripture. You have Paul and Barnabas, and they continued adding people everywhere they went. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. And so they, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and from there sailed to Cyprus. They went all over what we know as Asia Minor, a section of Turkey today. And they shared the good news of Jews and Gentiles. They helped each other up when they'd get beaten, when they'd get stoned. There are people that loved God and worked together and were a great asset to each other and to the Lord and His cause. If you had somebody going with you, wouldn't you love to have Barnabas? And wouldn't you love to have Paul for his knowledge? Paul had an incredible amount of knowledge. He's also being guided by the Holy Spirit. But Paul knew Greek culture. He was highly educated. And here you have Barnabas, who never met an enemy. He turned enemies into friends. And between the two of them, there are many, many souls led to the Lord. Let's look at another soul-winning team. We have Peter and John, who had completely different personalities, as we find in their dealings with Jesus. But they worked together real well. In Acts 3, verses 1 and 2, "And Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple," which is called Beautiful. He was asking alms. They gave him something better than that. They healed him. Acts chapter 4, we find, "As they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees came upon them." Now, notice this. "They were greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead." So they're going to face hostility from religious people. And the hostility was for teaching about Jesus and teaching about His resurrection. Folks, if you go on college campuses today in this country and you talk about Jesus, there are going to be people that may throw things at you. They may riot. If you've been watching the news recently, a number of people have gone on campuses and been banned. Not because of anything they said or did, but because they were teaching something that was not popular with many people there, and people did not want them sharing God's message. There's a time of opposition. It's right on us now. And we just have to deal with it. So we just pray, "Lord, get us stronger. Give us courage. Give us someone like Barnabas to go with us, to be with us." Peter and John worked together. Look at verse 13. "When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus." Folks, be with Jesus. Spend some time with Jesus. Spend some time in His Word. And we're going to talk tomorrow night and end this on a brand new lesson for me. I wrote it last night late and this morning early. I picked the topic, like a challenge in a meeting. So I had something totally new, had an idea in my mind, and I was working on it. It's going to be taking the rod of God in your hand. And when you get the rod of God in your hand, there's not anybody anywhere that's going to stop you. And it's going to look back and start with Moses, who Moses had a rod. But after he got the rod of God in his hand, he accomplished some of the greatest things that have ever been done in this world. So we need to recognize that with other people, with the Lord's help and strength, we can overcome any objection and things that people all around you tell you, "You can't do that, you can't do this." With the Lord's power, with His ability, with faith in Him, you can do whatever needs to be done to His honor and glory. So we were talking last night, we were talking about a brother that had the possibility of lung cancer, which is very, very dangerous, obviously. And I mentioned then, no matter what the doctor tells you, no matter whether they give you any hope or not, don't give up. I've seen people, in fact, we've got a lady at the church right now that's lived 8 years with what was supposed to be terminal lung cancer about 7 years ago. And she's one of these unfortunate people. Nothing that she did had anything at all to do with the lung cancer. She just developed lung cancer. And it wasn't secondhand smoke or firsthand smoke. She just got lung cancer. But she's fought it. She's still fighting. And great encouragement to the kingdom of God. Peter and John had been with Jesus. And if we feel a little weak or we're a little discouraged, Paul faced that on occasion. We find the great people, even the Old Testament, Elijah on one time, Lord, it's just me. I'm all alone. You know what the Lord did when Elijah got down and he just couldn't see where he was going and he was frustrated? God gave him Elisha. He also gave him something to do. And he told him to anoint this king. Tell this one, he's getting ready to be iced. His life's over. You go get to work. Next thing you know, you have God calling him home. If you want to go to heaven and you'd like to be like Elijah, live the life that he lived. Dedicate yourself to God. Be in a position where you're fighting for your life day after day after day. Take a strong stand against evil. But the Lord sent him Elisha. Elisha would have been a great person to be along with you. He was young. He was enthusiastic. He didn't know what he didn't know. I remember when I was 21 years of age and I was preaching full time in a place called Concord, North Carolina. It's a thriving church at this point in time. But in those days, Concord, North Carolina, the pulpits, you could do this and fall apart. We lived in a little paddleball factory behind it, been converted into a, quote, parsonage. It was a house for the preacher. It had the Florida rollout windows, except none of the rollouts worked, and they weren't available any longer. Young man, I didn't know that the church couldn't grow. Somebody forgot to tell me, and I remember a fellow named Ron Chain, who's gone to be with the Lord. And Ron was a good guy, but in fact, he was from Ohio. But some of you know Ron Chain. He had a lot of good points, but Ron also could see the dark side of things. And I remember he's about 10, 12 years older than me. He called me aside and said, there's just nothing you can do here. So they ran off the last preacher, about starved him to death too. And he went through all this list of things. It just wasn't going to work. But I was 21 years of age. And I didn't know that people wouldn't receive the gospel message. And people received the gospel message. And we had all kinds of people restored. And all of a sudden, that congregation was so good. About 1980, the fellow named Ralph Walker lived there about 13 years. Just a wonderful opportunity, a great chance to be with some people and to impact some lives. And I've laughed about that. I really didn't know a whole lot at that point in time, but I made up for it, enthusiasm. And somebody says, well, I don't know very much, and I'm not very good at this. Well, just work real hard. You'll be amazed at how much you can accomplish if you work real hard. Now, you can, get a really nice piece of equipment. I saw a beautiful tractor at Brother Hastings today, and I'm just one generation removed from the farm. I said, I've seen nice tractors, and we were talking about that Mercedes, that $100,000 Mercedes a friend of mine has. I don't know what that tractor costs, but that's a nice tractor. When you're out working in the field and you've got an air-conditioned, you're doing all right in air condition. And it had A&M FM stereo, too. And those big wheels, I mean, that's a nice piece of equipment. I wouldn't mind driving that tonight. Had to leave a little earlier. But as you look and think about those things, if we're doing the Lord's work, you can have a tractor like that, and it's not too hard to work. If all you have is a hoe and a strong back, you can get the same thing done. Just one works a whole lot easier than the other. Peter and John worked together, blessed the kingdom of God. Paul and Silas, after Paul and Barnabas, like some of us today, they had a little issue, and they had an issue over John Mark, who both later decided was real profitable in the kingdom of God, but apparently he was young and immature and just hadn't gotten it yet. And Paul is a lot of things. I never got the impression that Paul was overly patient with people who hadn't quite got the picture. Now, I'm not critical of the Apostle Paul, but I don't think he and Barnabas were exactly the same in their approach. Paul was serious, and Barnabas was also, but Barnabas seemed to have the ability to see where someone could be, and Paul didn't have a lot of time, and he wanted to deal with serious people. Acts 15, 36 through 41. Then after some days, they said to Barnabas, Paul said to Barnabas, let's now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Now Barnabas was determined to take with him John called Mark. He's a family member, you study a little further. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. I wouldn't have taken him either, I'll just be honest with you. Barnabas ended up being right, but, you're on one of these trips overseas. I've had wonderful people I've worked with, but I have no patience for crybabies. And that's kind of one of the things when you're going on your way. You say, listen, if you want things the way they were at home, you want the food you had at home, you want to sleep in the bed you had at home, you want the bathroom at home, inside instead of outside, stay home. But if you're going to go and you're going to go to third world countries to share God's word, you're going to live with them, you're going to eat with them, and you're going to be glad. And had a lot of young people and others who exactly did that. They went and just worked wonderfully. But John Mark wasn't able to handle that at that moment in time. Whatever reason, I don't know. And we find verse 40, after they decided to keep working for the Lord, went in different direction. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. They did a fabulous job on the first trip, and they did on the second trip and the third trip as well. You know, a team can consist of more than two. But even under the law of Moses, it took two or three witnesses to any event. You ever thought about that? You look there on the board and you'll notice that I talk about the transfiguration. And you read about Matthew 17. And I've heard people say, well, you know, Jesus just liked Peter, James, and John. He was just closer to him personally. Well, that may have been true. May not have been true. But there's something way more important than the personal relationship. And if you read carefully 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter had a witness. There were three of them. Two of them are going to be living. That were witnesses to the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. That stood up in the Jewish court. They could not deny. Now James is beheaded. But Peter and John lived a long time. And when he writes, he says, when we were with him in the Holy Mount, you have a legal testimony, and he certifies that what he says is the truth of God. And who could challenge it? They've got the witnesses, people who you could not doubt if you knew who they were and had seen what they had sacrificed for the cause of Jesus Christ. And so you have the confirmation of what had been said. They were a great team. Peter, James, and John. Peter and John later on. All of them working, laboring for the same Lord. Well, what are some ways we can stir one another? We can have group meetings to work together on evangelism. But get together and do something besides talk. I've seen a lot of brethren got together and could talk. Let's just go talk to some people. Let's not just sit there and learn a whole lot. If you haven't learned how to do personal evangelism this week, then probably a whole lot of meetings isn't going to help you. Basically, you have the love of God in your heart. You get to names work together, and you go talk to them about Jesus. And I don't care if you use the big picture of the Bible, you use Seeking God's Way, or you just sit down and read a couple of books like Luke and Acts with them. Whatever method you want to use, whether it's just reading God's Word together or you're using some other method, you're going to tell them about God the Creator. You're going to tell them about His plan of salvation. That goes through all the prophets leading to Jesus Christ who died for our sins according to the Scripture. And it's through Jesus Christ that we have redemption through His blood. And the Lord adds to the church those who are being saved. There's all kinds of opportunities after that. I mentioned to you last night I was giving away copies of Seeking God's Way. My brother-in-law owns those. They've got a fabulous book they've used extensively before. And it's designed to just help a person mature and grow as a Christian. Well, it's designed for new converts. And if you need copies, just see them. I'm free to give their stuff away. And it's a fairly expensive book, so you might cost you $10 or $12. But my brother-in-law loaned it to you. I got As you look at that, though, if you don't feel you're very strong and developed in the faith, no matter how long you've been a Christian, you need a study like that. What you don't know, you don't know. If you haven't learned the basics of the Old Testament, the New Testament, what the sections of the Bible are, how to find Scripture, you need to find it. It doesn't matter if you're 90 or you're 9. It's the same basic information. So what we need to do is work together. I mentioned here the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, who, as all of you know, and I'm not here to criticize them, don't matter if there's someone from those groups here, we don't teach the same thing in case the Jehovah's Witness about Jesus Christ and his divinity. With Mormons, they have another book, and we have the Bible, they have some others. There's basic differences, but I will commend them for the fact that they have a support system, and they have meetings. If you see folks Saturday that have a tie on, the women are dressed pretty nice, and they're going around gas stations, and they're going in restaurants. They're going places to share what they believe is the truth. But they have a support system. That's a whole important part of that group. As you look at the Mormons, if you ever talk to a couple, in fact, I've talked to young men and young women both, a lot of people dedicated, striving to do things. But if you ever talk to them, you get into some real study and they start asking you a lot of questions. The next time they show up with someone that is older and more mature, which that's always been fine with me as well. But what they've done, they've got a support system. And whatever you're teaching, and especially when you're teaching simply what Jesus Christ has said, you need a support system. You need to encourage and you need to edify other people. Also, there's benefits of working together to pass out materials at fairs, community sense events. There's a lot of opportunities where you talk to people and others being there. It doesn't have to be boring. It doesn't have to be dull. It can be something that is encouraging to you. Well, what can you and I do to encourage others to share the gospel? You know, I don't have all the answers. I don't know all the things that you can do. I've told you this week about a number of things that have worked down our way, but there's a lot of intelligent people in this room. There are a lot of intelligent people in this whole area. And you may come up with a wonderful idea that will help share God's word. Well, that's great. Let somebody know. And only thing, I've kind of had a rule where I've been for a number of years, that if you come up with an idea, you have to be willing to help fulfill it. And if you come up to me and you say, well, you know, somebody needs to change that clock. That's wonderful. Ladders back here, when would you like to do that? We do that about the baptistry too. We have a young man, just a brand new member, and what can I do? I said, I tell you what, we've got a guy that's cutting the grass. We need somebody with a weed eater, and you're living right down there in one of his houses. He would love to have somebody weed eat, and he would. And so he was volunteered for that so quick and didn't even know what hit him. That works with spiritual things as well. There's not any of us that we're members of the body of Christ. We're to be active in the kingdom of God. And a whole lot of the complaining comes from people because they don't have anything to do. If you see something that doesn't look right around here, clean it up. Take care of it. I've had people come up to me and it's almost a panic. You know, the door wasn't locked the other day when I came in. I said, well, I'm not too worried about that anyway, but I'll get you a key. You know, sometimes I have places to go after service and I've got two 80-year-old people who like to get home that ride with us every service. So we'll get you a key. When it comes to spiritual things, somebody, you know, the young man that sat right back there this week, somebody needs to set up a study with him. I had an opportunity to talk to him in a few minutes. I think he's going to do a little bit of work for Brother Hastings, maybe grow a little bit of popcorn. But if I ever saw a young man that's wide open to the gospel, he is. And I think he may be dating somebody's daughter back here. But somebody needs to get hold of that young man. He's ready. And he seemed real crazy about the young lady he was sitting with as well. So there's two or three really good reasons to sit down with him and share God's word. What would happen if two or three different people volunteered? Well, I guess he'd figure out some people cared about it. And hopefully someone would reach him with the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. Second question is, what are we currently doing? Now, I know there have been a number of really good things done here. And things being done now. Don't quit doing this. Don't quit the Friday Bible study. Don't quit classes you're already doing. Just add something that you can be involved in and doing. I don't know how many times I've had somebody say, you know, I just want more to do in the service. What they mean is they want to be up front more. Well, there's a limited amount of times you get to be up front. But I've never been a part of a church that limited how many Bible studies that you could have with people, or how many hospital visits you could make, or how many good things you could do. My philosophy in life, I haven't shared with you this week. My philosophy in life as living as a Christian is to do one good thing every day that justifies your existence. God gave you today. So say a prayer for someone specifically. Make a phone call to somebody. Do something that will bless somebody's life. Maybe you go next door and you cut your neighbor's yard. Maybe you just bake something and take it to somebody you know has just been down having a hard time. Do something. It doesn't have to be anything large. But if the Lord asks you, what did you do today? You can at least say, I did at least one thing. Now that doesn't mean you can't do more than one thing. But you think about 365 days a year and every day of the year, you did something. What do you think when you sow, what happens? What happens? You're right. It always works. There's no possible way that all the members of the congregation, or even two or three of you, every day doing something good, and even do a few things anonymously. Nobody knows who did it, but they know somebody did it. It's going to have results. It's going to do good. And God is able to multiply the seed that's sown. And you might have another idea that's even better, but it's pretty hard to beat at least doing something for somebody every day. It also really helps with our attitude, because as you start thinking about people that you can pray for, or people that you can help or that you can assist, it also makes your own troubles go away. I've got a few challenges in my life right now with some health issues with family members. Lots and lots of work to be done. But I met some of you this week, and I really don't have any problems. I met some people that are meeting very great challenges, that are continual challenges that don't go away. And you're still serving God and trying to do what you can to encourage others. So you can find someone else. What ideas do you have for evangelism here in West Carrollton? As I said, just be willing to help carry them out. Be humble. Realize the power is in God. It's not in you, and it's not in me. I don't know how many people I've seen that have responded to the gospel from every kind of imagination, every kind of personality. I've known people that were extremely wealthy and people that were extremely poor. I've known people from every race and pretty much from every religious background that came to know Jesus Christ. We talked this week, and Brother just went blank. Brother Mike was talking about the work in Sierra Leone, working among people, teaching in a school where all the people there were in a Muslim school, and being able to tell the news of Jesus Christ. How does that happen? Well, you first of all had to go. And by showing up and by meeting with Christians, a door was open to you that hasn't been opened, as far as I know, to any of the other people that have been there before. There's an opportunity based on the godly life of a student in that school that made it possible. God can open doors. We have to have the courage to go through them with courage, with confidence, and the determination that the Lord's word will produce results. As David said a long time ago, I once was young, and now I'm a little bit closer to older. Never seen the righteous forsaking the seed begging bread, and I've never known his word not to produce results.
Never.
Never seen it where I could say, oh, they worked and worked and worked, and it just all went for nothing. Never known that to happen in my life. Now, I've seen a lot of places where very little work was done, and not enough seed was sown, and sure enough, they didn't have a harvest. But where the people have the great attitude and a great work ethic, and they're determined to do something to the glory of God, it gets done. And that's wherever you're from, whatever your background. Don't limit what God can do. This evening, if you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, His blood can save you. He calls upon you to repent and be baptized. That was a message on Pentecost. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He told His disciples to go in the whole world and preach that message. A simple message. Lost people need the blood of Jesus. And we find in Romans chapter 6 how those two things come together. And we see the faith and grace combining in the blood of Jesus Christ as we turn to Him and follow His will for us. Tonight, if you're ready to turn and follow the Lord, if you need to be reconciled to Him, we'd be glad to help you as we look to His Word while we stand and sing.